If you turn your Bibles, please, to Romans, the 5th chapter. As you do so, I'll tell you a little bit of what happened this morning. As you know, we had a teacher's meeting after services, and I'd made a great deal about it was going to be brief. You know, 5 minutes was the time that Jeremy pulled out of the hat from somewhere. But that was fine, because I had no intention of going any longer than that. And so services were over, and got to doing one thing here or there. And of course, I forgot. And so a messenger was sent out from the resource room, and I hurried in there and with apologies for being late. But I told them, I only said we'd be 5 minutes here. I didn't say how long it would be before we started the meeting. Well, in the midst of all of that, Jake was with the song leading services this evening. He was wanting to find out what my sermon was going to be on. And so he came in, and I knew that's what he was coming to find me for. And he came in as the meeting had pretty well dismissed. There were a few of us standing around talking about some things related to the teaching class. And he walked over, and he stood by for a moment, and I looked over at him and I said, "Patience." And he just kind of nodded, and we went on with our discussions a little, and I looked back over at him and I said, "Patience." And he said, "Yes, I know patience is the key for all in all things." I said, no, the sermon tonight is on patience. With that introduction, I'll talk to you this evening about making our way patiently through life. Romans, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks about at the conclusion of a great discussion about justification. Says that in verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom," that is, through Jesus Christ, "through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into His grace in which we stand." I'm sure you've been introduced many times. Maybe introduced to a crowd of people, or maybe introduced to something new, to some new experience, to some new product. You've had a number of introductions in the course of your life. But if you're a Christian, this is the greatest introduction that you've ever had. The introduction into grace, into the grace of God, in which we as Christians stand. And then Paul says at the end of verse 2, "And we exult in hope of the glory of God." Our exultation is in the hope of the glory of God, the glory that will be received. Now, a lot of people might look at that and say, "Well, you know, that's just more of that Christian gobbledygook. It's just that pie in the sky kind of talk. It's nothing of any real practical value." You know, that's the problem with you Christians, is you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And I will confess that it may very well be that sometimes people can be that way. But it is not true of the Apostle Paul, of what he writes in these verses, or of any of the inspired teachers and authors of the Scriptures. They are, if nothing else, they are very practical in the things that they write and the things that they teach us about, that give us, as we sang, I believe, in the first song this evening, we sang something about a way to live. And that's exactly what the Scriptures give us, a way to live. Not only the hope of a life after this life, but a way to live in the present, here and now. And listen to what Paul goes on to say after speaking of this exaltation in the hope of the glory of God. He goes on and he says in verses 3 through 5, "And not only this, But we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now that's practical. That's day-to-day, nuts and bolts, where the rubber meets the road, whatever kind of figure of speech you may want to employ, cliche you may want to employ. That's day-to-day kind of living, where Paul talks about our experiences. What are we going to encounter? He says we're going to encounter tribulations. But he says that's going to have a product. That's going to produce in us perseverance, which in turn is going to produce proven character, which in turn is going to produce hope for us. I'd like to look at those four things because they are the common experience for men and women who are exulting in the hope of the glory of God. People who have been introduced to the grace of God. This is the common experience that they shall have. But it's very practical. And the first thing that Paul says about this, as he describes how we make our way patiently through life, is that we're going to have the experience of tribulation. Now, I suspect that you've probably encountered that phrase maybe in discussions that you've had with friends, religious discussions, or things that you've seen on TV or read of a religious nature, where people talk about the tribulation period, as it relates to the doctrine of premillennialism. Well, there's really nothing in the Bible that talks about that. But the Bible does talk about tribulations. And what it means when it talks about tribulations is pressing. That's what that word means. The Greek word that it comes from means pressing. A pressing together or putting of pressure upon something. It metaphorically then came to refer to a person's experiences in life where they were experiencing pressure or distresses. Jesus encountered this in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that word Gethsemane meant olive press. And it was called the Garden of Gethsemane because there was in that garden an olive press. Olive press was just where they brought their olives to have them pressed. They were crushed, and they would get the oil from the olives. A stone would be rolled over them, and the oil would be collected for use or for sale. It was a place where pressure was put upon something. And that's exactly what was happening to Jesus at that moment in his life. He was having pressure applied to him. What the Scriptures tell us very simply is that's going to be the experience that you will have. As a Christian, you're going to have pressure applied to you. You're going to have to face times of distresses that are associated with faith, with your faith. The book of James, in the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 11, has something to say to us then about surviving this kind of pressure. James 5 and verse 7, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. You get the point that James makes? It's brethren. Well, you're going to face these things. You're going to face these trials. You're going to face these tribulations. Do it with patience. That's the way to survive these times of pressure. You know, of course, one of the reasons Jake was asking me about what my sermon topic was going to be about was in order to select a song. And he always selects at least one song, usually the song right before I get up here to preach, that kind of deals with the topic I'm going to talk about. And the song we sang tonight was certainly appropriate. In His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time. Not your time, not my time. God never does work on our schedule. God always works on His schedule. And God is never late, though we may think that He's late in acting the way we want Him to. But He's never late. And what James is urging his brethren to do here is to face these times and to do so with patience and to reflect upon an example that we have, he says in verse 10, of the prophets who spoke the name of God. They spoke the will of God. They were the spokesman for God. And they endured trials and tribulations. They suffered, he says, and they did it with patience. And then, of course, probably the most famous example of patience is that of Job. You've heard of the endurance or the patience of Job. But what does he say about that case of Job? He says it illustrated how the Lord, in the end of all things, that the outcome of the Lord's dealings with Job was merciful and abundant. And so he says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. That's the reason that patience makes sense for us. But you know, there's an interesting thing that Paul says in that text that we're looking at, and that is that tribulations have as their product perseverance. I just find it kind of ironic that what the Scriptures urge upon us is patience and perseverance, and what is produced by tribulations is exactly what is needed in order to survive them. Perseverance and patience. And that word simply means a steadfastness or a constancy, an ability to endure. And in the New Testament, the characteristic of patience is attributed to a person who's not deterred from their deliberate purpose in life. They're not deterred from their loyalty or from their faith. They're not deterred from their holiness by even the greatest trials that they may confront. Look in Hebrews chapter 6 and listen to what the Hebrew writer has to say about patience and endurance. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 9 through 12. Now this text comes right behind a rather lengthy, a rebuke. Where you remember in chapter 5 where he rebukes them for being undeveloped, they're immature. He said, when you, by reason of time, you should be teachers. You have need that someone come and teach you. And he in the opening verses of chapter 6, he has some very stern things to say about falling away. And then in verse 9, he says, but beloved, we're convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. He says, now I've said some pretty stern things to you, but we've got a higher estimation of you. We've got high expectations of you. And what you must do in order to attain those expectations is that you must be diligent, in verse 11, so that you realize the full assurance of hope till the end. He's just talking about endurance and patience. And he even says it in verse 12, where he says that you ought to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. That's the way promises are always inherited. It's through faith and patience. I don't care what kind of promise you're talking about. Your mother and your father may have told you, now, son or daughter, we've made out a will down at the lawyer's office today. And in that will, everything that we have is left to you. That's their promise to you. You want to know how you get that promise? Through faith, trusting that what they've said is actually true, that they haven't lied to you. Through faith and patience. You're going to have to wait for them to die. It's not going to be yours until their death. And that's precisely what God says to us. There's an inheritance that I have for you. There's something that He's promised to us. And we can attain it, but only by means of faith and patience. The Bible has so much to say to us about the significance of this patience. You know, in Luke, the 8th chapter, the 15th verse, is a familiar passage that I guess I'd never really made this connection before, this connection to patience. But in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 15, where Jesus is teaching that lesson about the sower, and He goes forth and sows the seed. In verse 15 He says, and the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Or with patience. We're not going to bear fruit unless we're patient. There are just no shortcuts to maturity. And that's basically what He's talking about here when He talks about the bearing of fruit, the producing of what God wants in our lives. His Word will do that. His Word will work in us. God, through His Word, will work in our lives to produce what He wants. But fruit doesn't come overnight. We don't grow to be adults by taking some kind of shortcut. It comes with time. It comes with patience. It comes with effort. Well, in Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 12 through 19, He talks about gaining our souls through patience. In Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, there He talks about churches that are patient. And then in verses 18 and 19, He talks about churches whose works are more than they were before. How does a church, who doesn't want to be a part of a church whose works are more than before, more than they were before? You're doing more for the Lord now than in times past. Now, you know, there's some churches that kind of sit back and they'll rest on their laurels and they'll talk about, oh, the good old days. You remember the 50s and the 60s? And they live. Half a century ago, they live in the past and they die. But a church whose works are more than they were before is not living in the past, not resting on its laurels. They're continuing to work. They're maturing. They're producing fruit for the Lord. They do it because they are being patient. But Paul says that this patience or perseverance has a product itself, and that is a proven character. Back in Romans 5 in verse 4. And the word just simply means to be approved or to be a tried character. You've been through some tests. You've proven your mettle. Churches do that as they are patient. Individuals do that as they are patient. I think I may have used this illustration here before. But to me, it's just in my data, you know, just experiences, it's the best illustration of what it means to be experienced or to be a proven character. Driving down the road one day, got behind a garbage truck. And I was taken by how these two men on the back of this garbage truck were so nonchalant. I mean, they were just standing there like you would on a sidewalk, and they were talking. And then all of a sudden, I noticed a change in their demeanor. They quit facing one another and just talking casually to one another. They turned and they both faced the back of that truck, and they got a grip with both hands and they flexed their knees. And then sure enough, there was a pretty good bump in the road. Now, how did those guys know that? Well, it may have been one of them got bumped off of that truck one day. I don't know. But it was experience. They had been down the road before. They had been proven, tested. And that's exactly what this does for us, Paul says. These tribulations that produce patience within us and strengthen our endurance, they prove our character, make us able to face these trials and these sufferings that may come upon us. And the final thing that he says here in verse 4 is that that proven character then produces within us hope. Hope in the Scriptures. You know, we talk about hope. And what we oftentimes mean is, well, what we wish for. I hope I don't have to pay taxes on April the 15th. Well, that's probably what I wish for. But I don't expect it to happen. In the Bible, when we read about hope, it is speaking of that which is desired, but it is desired with an earnestly desired with an expectation of receiving. It's not a hope if there is not an expectation of receiving it. So Paul writes to the Romans and says we're saved through hope. We're saved by virtue of the fact that we have an expectation of a wonderful gift from God when this life is over, and we have the expectation of receiving it. People who have been through trials and have persevered and have had their character strengthened and developed because of that are people who have this kind of hope. Over in the book of Hebrews, as the Hebrew writer is coming to that point where he's ready to begin writing about these great men and women of faith in the past, that's in chapter 11. Just before he writes about those people, he says this in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, that's patience, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. We don't shrink back to destruction because we have a hope that's given to us. A hope that we have every expectation of receiving. Now, this is not some pie in the sky, impractical kind of double talk. It's very practical. And it encourages us to continue on, to endure. So if you're a Christian, the message that Paul would have you to understand is, don't give up. Keep on. But if you're not a Christian, the message that he would have you to understand is, you need to become one. You need to start in this life, this kind of life that he's described. Because it's the only one that gives you a reason to expect something beyond this life. If it's your desire this evening to lay claim to that hope that God has offered to every man and woman, then we pray you'll come to the Lord in faith. Give your obedience to His gospel tonight while we stand and sing together.